let it off, get it off, let it off, get it off, get it off, let it off, get it off, get it off, let it off.
Ooh-wee, it's me. Ooh-wee, it's me. Ooh-wee, it's me. Ooh-wee, it's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta, like,
you know, encourage me the whole way long. Make me say, ow.
Na 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 na.
Say, ow.
Na 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 na.
Wiggity wiggity, ow.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, yeah, ow.
Back again on another Thursday.
Yeah, ow.
Gonna tell you when you get it thirsty.
Ow. Wiggity wiggity, dick, dick, ow.
Yo, NPR back in the motherfucking house with your man right to the front of me, my man, Mr.
Nestorius. That's right, I'm your host, Nestorius, a.k.a. Nestor Rodriguez, who did that shit backwards today, because you know what? We got it like that. That's what we do here. You know what I'm saying? It's like that, and that's the way it is. You know what I'm saying? Because that's how we do it. You know,
you sip it like your cool lemonade on a hot summer day.
You know what I mean? Drinking lemonade, chilling in the shade, getting laid, getting paid. You know what I'm saying? That's what we doing here. And that was my man, Simon motherfucking Kaufman.
SimonKaufman.com. You can check it out if you have all your internet, Comcast, cable, subscriberships, cockbags.
That's what
Look
I'm talking
me
about.
Up, Google, Facebook, and Twitter this shit, because
right.
We're taking over an internet revolution in Skid Row.
Yo, just tattoo NestoriusPublicRadio.com on your neck. Just do it, okay? Because when your ass is in jail and you ain't got nothing, no currency, you ain't worth shit.
Yeah.
At least you will have one of the most helpful websites linked to one of the most amazing radio shows that you could ever share in the joint.
Yeah,
okay?
When you're sucking cock for a pack of Marlboros, we're here for you. That's when we step in. We're here for you. We bring the heat, the noise, the news, the
and
whatever it is.
And check it. This is where we come in. 1-800-893-9562. We're live every Thursday night from 9 to 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and midnight to 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you're in the joint, right? Rikers Island, Sing Sing, Elmira, Attica on the East Coast from midnight to 1, you're in bed. Lockdown. You can't make a call. But if you're on the West Coast, you know what I'm saying? Corcoran, you know what I'm saying?
You don't even have to use your daytime minutes. It's 9 p.m.
It's free. This shit is free.
No excuses.
You know what I'm saying? Now, for those of you who ain't doing 20 to life, and you're sitting at home, you haven't paid your cable bill, you ain't got a cell phone because no one's calling you. No one gives a fuck about you. You know what I'm saying? You're sitting at home. You ain't got nothing in the fridge.
Your best friend's the Red Box.
Yeah, yeah. Red Box. If you haven't sold your DVD player yet. Okay? You're sitting at home in your dirty underwear, eating a crusty old bowl of fucking cornflakes with rice milk and stale fucking shriveled up blueberries.
You're watching NFL, ESPN, SportsCenter, classic reruns.
Just give us a call! 1-800-893-9562. And check this out. If you go to SkidRowStudios.com, this is a new feature that I forget to tell people. If you go to SkidRowStudios.com while we're live, you can watch the show live on livestream.com. There's a link on the top. So check it. You want to see how fat my ass has gotten since, you know, 12th grade, how blubber's hanging out my fucking side of my cheek, how Simon Kaufman got like 5 pounds of gel on his head. And hold on a second. We haven't introduced, we're bullshitting, bugging the fuck out, having a good time, which is great.
We have a haircut that's taking place.
We got my man, Rich Corbin, richcorbin.com.
Yeah, what's up, everybody?
Who's
How do
been
you like
juicing?
Your eggs?
He's been juicing. He's been on steroids.
No.
What
no.
do you mean? I thought he was juicing.
No, he's juicing. He's on fucking vegetable juice.
What?
Fucking fruit juice. When was the last time you had
juicing.
Anything solid? This is day 18.
It's been 21 days since solid food. I've been juicing for 18 days though.
Yeah, you've been juicing for 18 days.
So you've been drinking juice.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have you also been shooting roids?
No, no, no,
been
no.
Shooting. I've been shooting fluid out of my ass.
That, you know, Nick, hey, Nick, could you cut that out of the show? That's ridiculous, that shit right there. That, we didn't talk, oh.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, so I thought this was a clean show. I'm sorry,
putting
I forgot.
Indian war paint on the side of the toilet bowl.
No, well, the truth of the matter is, Rich and I, we've done a few cleanses in the past where we've discussed this before, you and I, the three of us, where we do a vegan, a raw, and a liquid. But Rich is, you know, I hate to be smoking crack with Rich. Rich goes straight for the fucking main line. You know what I mean?
Rich does the 5-day methamphetamine diet where you don't eat for five days.
Rich, you see, when you smoke crack, you start selling shit little by little to support your habit.
Yeah.
Rich... He'd sell everything.
He'd if you still have the blender, you're not a crackhead.
No. He'd sell everything before he starts smoking crack. He's like, he's committed.
Yeah, he's committed. But he still has his blender. You know, he's still juicing. So if he sells the blender, then you know, okay, that's over the ledge.
So 18 days of juicing.
Yeah.
And basically, tell us what your preparation for your juices are. No.
Yeah.
Share with us. I mean, what the fuck? We're talking about... This wasn't even a topic.
Nah.
You know what I mean?
How thick is your semen?
Like, this wasn't even... That's right. We're not planning on talking about juicing, but tonight, we're going to just talk about whatever the fuck comes into our brain. Hopefully, we'll discuss some serious topics, like the George Zimmerman not guilty verdict, which is one of the things I like to talk about. And stupid articles, another Bloomberg thing, and more bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Because we ain't doing nothing but talking shit.
We ain't doing nothing but talking shit, juicing, organic, sustainable farms.
That's where I get my juice from.
That's what I'm saying. Anyway,
I don't even juice it myself. It's just like the drippings from the compost.
I had to do this because I usually do the Tonight Show theme song. And I was like, I haven't even said what I was to talk about. I get a lot of email from people and they say, you know, you need to say right off the top of the show, right, what you're discussing. And I've been doing that, but after I go back and I listen to a lot of the shows, I realize we may hit on like maybe two or three of the things that I mentioned during the Tonight Show theme song that I'm going to talk about.
It's ADD theater, man.
One of the things about this show is we're outside of time and space. We've left the space-time continuum. We've gone up into the Elder Realm and returned with material. So
we're hanging out with George Norrie.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You don't know who that is.
That's right.
NPR.
You are walking into another dimension.
You unlock this door.
A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind.
Beyond it is another dimension.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Next stop, the Twilight Zone, motherfucker.
At the time of the dawn of the Mayan calendar, three men would arrive in a room in downtown L.A., stopping at Paquito Moss first for quesadillas.
Stealing the salsa. They get arrested. Anyway, the juicing, please, Rich. What does that entail?
All right. Listen, I started by watching this movie called Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead by this Australian dude. You seen that? So I watched that. Got a little inspired after, you know, a buddy told me to check it out. So I did that.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Oh, I'll speed this up. So then... what am I drinking? It's kale. Kale and
You got inspired by the movie. You can get into it.
Yeah. No, so we got kale, we got carrots, we got a beet, we got a couple of apples, we got celery, whole shit ton of spinach.
So you put a lot of shit that no one wants to eat solid.
Yeah.
And you put it in a juicer, you extract the solid particles, and you fucking have nothing but liquid. And so basically, you're drinking liquid nutrition.
Yeah, there's a little bit of pulp in there.
A little bit of pulp. But for the most part, what that does is that your body gets to have the advantage or the advantages of ingesting pure nutrients with very little digestive work.
Because the body doesn't have to work to break down
this or that or whatever. That stuff goes, it's like mainlining nutrition.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's pure.
It's pure.
Pura vida! puto!
I get the organic shit, man. I ain't fucking around.
Oh, you do? All your vegetables are organic? Because that's what you're supposed to do.
As what I can.
No, that's what you're supposed to do. When I did the cleanse, everything's got to be organic.
Oh, yeah. We don't fuck around.
Well, no.
We go full bore organic. Well,
the principle is that you don't want to ingest any kind of pesticides and
all
that stuff.
Not in my neighborhood.
Right, not on my watch. So, no, it's a cleanse. It's a fucking cleanse.
It's a cleanse, and it pulls everything out of you. But here's the thing. Here's what I've learned a couple times, because I've done the Master Cleanse for 21 days.
Master Cleanse is what?
That's that lemonade fucking diet that everybody was doing like 5-6 years ago.
It's lemonade.
That cool, refreshing drink.
So, yeah, that's retarded.
Why is that retarded? Why is that one retarded, but anyone else is better?
Because...
Why?
Yeah.
Okay, let me explain in two sentences or less. Why? Because you're drinking fucking lemon juice with cayenne pepper and maple syrup, okay?
You're getting over 1,300 calories
a day. It's retarded.
It's all sugar calories.
Yeah, yeah. You're not talking about getting calories. You're talking about getting nutrition. When you're juicing, you're getting 1,000% nutrition.
What do you think?
You know how much nutrition you get out of
your
burgers?
Your juice is loaded with sugars.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Not artificial sugars.
It's not artificial sugars if you're getting, again, organic.
Here's the interesting thing about
maple syrup.
Here's the interesting thing about artificial sugars is that artificial sugars also come with a key component that helps your body break it down, and that's fiber. You know, the pulp in there has a lot of the fiber. And
why do you say it's artificial sugars? Hmm? Why do you say it's artificial sugars in the grade B maple syrup?
Glucose. Right. You're right, but there isn't enough fiber in there to counteract that, and it fucks with your body. Your blood sugar spikes through
the fucking
roof.
Don't defend the fucking the cleanse because you
listen,
did it.
Listen, dude.
I'm not saying you're retarded.
People say it works, so what's the difference?
It does work. Listen, if you
are you trying to do it? Have you done it?
No, I'm a normal person. I relax and eat pizza, but you guys enjoy yourselves.
I'm not doing that.
No, you guys have your nice cleanse. It sounds wonderful. You should talk to each other from on the other side of the stall cleanse together.
If you drink nothing but Country Time lemonade with some cayenne pepper in it, you fucking lose some weight too.
It's not about losing weight.
Listen, it's not. The cleanse is not about losing weight. The cleanse is about cleaning your system, meaning your intestines, of toxins, i.e., undigested food particles and all sorts of shit that has not been flushed out of your system, which over a long period of time can cause, you know, health issues, intestinal cancer, digestive tract problems, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the point. Obviously, as a result of doing something like this, you're gonna lose weight because, you know, you're not eating solid foods that require a lot of energy for your body to break down and digest, and B, to store undigested stuff. This stuff doesn't need to get digested, the juice. Remember? It gets absorbed into the body like bam!
Like bow.
Like bam!
Like bow.
So does it make your balls shrink when you're juicing?
When I was doing that, my balls actually looked bigger. But that's because the other thing that happens when you're doing this is...
You get depth perception issues.
You get hypersensitive to sight, sound. Am I wrong? You start noticing moles and shit that you've never seen before.
The moles seem bigger. You do. You become a little bit more hyper aware of shit when you walk around. My eyes are a little more wider than they are. Thinking is a little more clear.
So do you look at your balls more?
Well, I start checking them to see if there's like stuff growing on them.
There is a new mole there on the ball.
No, I swear to God. I started noticing.
Do you think that mole was inside you until you juiced and then it came on the outside
of
you?
No, I start noticing shit. I'm like, what? What is that? I never had that birthmark. What is that? I start calling the dermatologist. Do I have AIDS? What is that? I swear to God, I start bugging out. And I'm very sensitive to noise and to sounds when I juice. When I get to the juicing part, it becomes like, that's why.
So it makes you a pussy. Like, turn it down to rock and roll.
No.
We're trying. We have a baby. We're eating brunch.
No. It actually
makes me aware.
It makes me aware of my limitations. So I limit my interactions with other people and environments and stuff like that. Unlike pussies, I don't blame it on other people and put the responsibility of me feeling better at their expense.
Could you keep it down? I'm currently in a juicer program for 3 weeks.
Except for this cocksucker that walks around my neighborhood with these fucking barking chihuahuas. God. Every fucking day he walks around with five fucking...
Who? Dude, we're living in the house. I got his son in on the program. His son's walking a dog.
That's my boy, Alan. I shouldn't say this, but hopefully he's not listening to my show. But the motherfucker walks around with two fucking chirping chihuahua fucking... It's like... And then all the dogs in the neighborhood start, and it's like a fucking 30-minute ordeal.
Are these dogs his dogs?
These dogs...
Yeah.
They're his or his wife's or his...
Dude, I have no partners. Idea. They're his. His wife's, his and his son's.
They bark like
Who
they're being attacked
fuck?
By a fucking pit bull. And that's just because they saw you. Like, I was walking out of the house, the dog turned
around. No, that's just because... No, that has nothing to do with seeing you. That's just because they're walking into air. That's it. That's
what
all
you
they need.
Do is,
the most hypersensitive
what you
animals
do
in the
is,
world.
That's all they need.
You got to get like a rifle and tuck down into bushes one day.
It don't bother me. Again, I do my best to accept certain things about certain people and certain situations. You know, where I run into trouble is always, of course, in traffic. You know, if I'm in a rush, then of course I'm looking for, you know, people who are not doing that. But anyway, look, we're going all over the place here. Let's, you know, what I want to do, I want to get a little serious here.
Yo, what you want to do, son? Where you gonna take them? Where you gonna take them? The NPR to show yo. Where you gonna take them? You do the different topics. You drop it and you rock it. We now on the web so you can catch it on your cameras. Rock it on the shit on the avenue you had to. Come after me, my man Esther. He rocks the jammer. When we come to whoa, yeah, you know now. It's me and Rich C on the MIC up in the studio. Yo, on the Skid Row Studios. www.com, bitch. Yo, I'm the bomb with. Yo, I rock on with. Till the break is on shit. I get it going, flowing, and you know I'm knowing.
Motherfucker, that shit was sponsored by Maloka Records. You know what I'm saying? Y'all want an MP3 sample of that shit?
Yo, that was sponsored by Big Al's Coats. All your coats and coat needs for the winner.
Go to iTunes. You want to get that? It's in the freezer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, give me water in the freezer if you don't mind.
Yeah,
I was trying to be all discreet. The motherfucker needs water. I got a goggles and shit.
I need the water from the freezer.
From the freezer, because it's nice and cold. You know what I'm saying? Anyway.
The mounted, let you feel
y'all want that
water
MP3?
From the freezer.
Y'all want that MP3? Y'all want to sample it? Because a lot of people send me, another thing people send me in the email is samples of shit that I have said out of context that they'll use in their radio show. You know what I mean? There's this chick in England, and she samples my shit whenever I'm bugging out on The Breaks, which is another podcast that we do. You should check that out also. Got to give a little plug there for The Breaks. It's on Smodcast, Kevin Smith's internet radio station, smodcast.com.
Now, are we on for this Monday?
I'm not sure. That's an off NPR question, okay? So that's not a question for on air. Can we get that out of the show?
No, we talk about important things that are really important.
What's
that you guys
here,
that you
Yo.
Guys can't. We have a lot of sensitive material that we need discussed off NPR.
See, the thing is, what it is that if you want to check out that MP3 of that freestyle fucking funk flex.
Yo, tell them what it is.
You know what I'm saying? What you want to do here is a couple of things. You want to go to Nestorius@gmail.com. Send me an email, okay? I will extract that shit from the show if you don't have the capabilities, and I will send you the MP3 because I'm swift like that, okay? And because Uncle Ness loves you.
Yo, he's got capabilities. He's capable. He's responsible. He's Nestorius.
And probable. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So anyway, we're going to get serious. We're bugging the fuck out here. We're having fun because, you know, first and foremost, what we do here is have fun, right? Because life is serious enough. You guys are stuck on the freeway looking at fucking idiots picking their noses and bullshitting and stuff like that on their cell phones texting. The least you could do is laugh and go, look at this fucking retard making us laugh. I can't believe he said that. That's what we're here for. But the other thing I want to say is, a lot of times people say, we were talking about this earlier, people say, what's your show about? Okay, I just want to say, I'm going to keep saying this throughout the recordings of my shows now and in the future. Just think about three guys standing on the corner, cracking a quart of beer, talking shit. Okay, just think about that. Put that in your mind. That's what we're doing here. We're taking the street corner to your ear.
Eating chicken gizzards.
Smoking Newports. You know what I'm saying?
Wearing crazy shoelaces.
Yeah, gargling with fucking welfare juices. You know what I'm saying?
Selling Tide for your laundry.
Yeah, eating crunchy pork skins. You know what I'm saying? Roulettes. You know what I mean?
Yo.
Fucking snacking back on some good and plenties. Yo, you know what I'm saying? Just because we got it like that.
Guacamole in the fridge.
Word. Yeah. All right, so we're going to get serious. So, you know, I wanted to know how y'all out there felt about the George Zimmerman not guilty verdict. I mean, that kind of bugged me out. You know what I mean? It just bugged me out. I swear to God, certain things happen in life that... And for everybody, this is different, that you go, as an American living in this country, you go, oh, shit. You know what I mean? It kind of makes you aware of who you are, where you are, and who you are, where you are in relation to the world.
Yeah, know? I think American people are going through this epic, this period right now in our history, which I'll call it the loss of innocence. Where like when a person reaches like 22, 23, 24, they go through like their loss of innocence a lot of times phase where they realize, oh shit, life's hard. My job.
The loss of innocence period.
You know, my job doesn't care about me.
2013 you know, to.
2013. We have entered a new epic.
Your wife doesn't care. Okay, finish. I'm fucking
Your wife around. Doesn't care about the epic. We've entered.
No.
What are we doing? No.
No,
what
I'm saying finish what you're saying. The loss of innocence.
What I'm saying is there's a time in your life where you wake up to realize that, oh, shit, the banks don't give a fuck about me. My government's poisoning our food supply. You know, life's tough, and you have to come to grips with that. And it's a time in a person's life.
Well, I wasn't even.
No, listen, I'm saying it's a time in a person's life where they either go one way or the other. And it's we're at a time in the country's existence. If you compare the timelines of a person's life to the country's life, I'm saying we're at a time where we're waking up to realize, oh shit, we're being watched. We're being taxed left and right.
We're being watched.
Our real estate, the chances of owning a home are in jeopardy.
We're being watched.
Oh, we're being watched online right now.
Oh, shit.
There's a camera right in front of you, man.
Yo, turn that shit off, man. Yo.
We'll be right back.
You're absolutely right, Simon. But I was more referring to you're walking down the street and you have a moment, right? And I'll tell you a couple of moments. When Obama got elected, I was in Pasadena. I was about to... Actually, I just finished doing a comedy show. I was aware of who I was in this part of history as one speck of a larger picture. You understand what I'm saying? I was also in Pasadena when I found out Michael Jackson died. Again, I was aware that I was a part of this bigger picture I'm an American, of an American society. Michael Jackson's a huge part of American culture. He's, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. He's gone. There's been many, many moments like that. Many different times in my life when I was a kid. Elvis Presley died. It's 1977. I didn't know where I was.
Were you in Pasadena?
No, I was in Puerto Rico. Oh. But we're going to do a string of P's, of places where I was with that begin with the letter P.
Where were you when Left Eye burned down Andre Rison's home?
I was in Pennsylvania that time. I was in Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Were you when Lawrence Taylor hired a 13-year-old prostitute to his hotel room?
I was in Piscataway, New Jersey. Yeah. I was in Piscataway. So I was in my living room and I was checking the phone, of course, and I just saw that in passing and I was like, whoa, not in passing, but and that's because a part of me assumed that at the bare minimum, at the very least, that he was going to get found guilty of manslaughter. at the very least. Okay. Now, you and I were talking about this earlier, you and I, Simon, and I did not watch the trial. I just got basic facts. And of course, one can argue facts, where'd you get them, blah, blah, blah. But basic facts.
Yeah, I don't even have basic cable, so it was harder to watch the trial.
But you have basic facts. So what I'm saying is, you know, basic facts, right? So there's a black kid walking down the street. Maybe he's not in the neighborhood he should be, whatever the fuck that means. And this guy who's a neighborhood watch guy, who has a license to carry a pistol, a loaded gun, you know, calls 911. He sees a suspect in his neighborhood. The police tell him, stay in the car until we get there. He decides to get out of the car and pursue the victim. And the victim is shot and dead. Those are the preliminary facts. No one knows the specifics. No one knows what happened from the time that Zimmerman got out of the car to, you know, the pursuit of the victim, to the confrontation with the victim, to what may have happened or transpired between Trayvon and Zimmerman. No one knows all that unless you watch the trial and then eventually get into all the specifics and all that other stuff. So based on all that, I thought, first of all, the police told you to stay in the fucking car. Okay, it's not up to you to decide to get out of the car, right, and
here's
fucking pursue somebody. Let me finish a second. And pursue somebody with a loaded pistol, okay? And then the kid dies. If you have a loaded pistol, we're going to go back again to responsibility. You're responsible for that pistol, okay? And if the fucking kid dies as a result of you using that pistol, whatever the fuck, if you felt threatened by him or not, he didn't have a weapon.
Here's the thing. The way the legal system is supposed to work, and I'm not saying it does.
Supposed to.
But the way it's supposed to work is.
Yeah. Go ahead.
If you're the juror.
Yeah.
You have to, what you're looking at is all the evidence, and you have to make a decision based off only what's on the table.
Admissible evidence.
No.
Only admissible evidence.
Any evidence, obviously, that has been admissible. By the time you're deliberating, you're only supposed to look at the evidence
that's been admitted and presented a certain way. That's where the prosecution
evidence
and the defense, depending on how good they are and how fucked up they are, or how cheap they are. Like if you got them at the welfare line,
that's half of it. But how does that evidence correlate to the current laws?
No, listen. You have to take. You have to look at all the evidence, and you have to decide yes A or no B. There's no third thing. Either yes, this evidence
is
enough.
It's called beyond reasonable doubt. That's what it's called.
Is there enough evidence that says that I feel comfortable?
Hold it. It's called beyond reasonable doubt.
Yes.
The purpose of either the defense team or the prosecution is to illustrate to you, the jury.
I'm talking about the jury.
To you, the jury, that A, it happened this way, and you need to see that beyond reasonable doubt to convict.
Look, you need to look at it. Listen, either A.
Don't talk too much, Rich. Rich is fucking interrupting a lot.
Dude, I can't even talk over you guys. You guys are fucking insane.
Go ahead. No, Rich.
I don't like to interrupt. I'm a very nice, you know, person.
He's a gentleman.
Can I finish my sentence?
I don't like to interrupt.
I'm fucking with you. Let him finish his sentence. Go ahead.
You're interrupting me talking about interrupting other people.
Well, hurry up and fucking say what you're going to say, motherfucker. Shit.
Before you start
You know what? Motherfucker! You bomba clad not talking about a fucking thing! Pull that shit, you bomba clad! Keep saying what the fuck you're saying, man!
I'm saying you're looking at evidence. You have to decide, yes, it is manslaughter, or no, it's not manslaughter. You're not allowed to look at this and that, or whether someone's black, or whether someone's this or that.
We're not talking about fucking... Okay. Hold on, we're not talking about a fucking Justice 101.
What I'm saying is...
Yeah.
How do you know that based off the evidence that was presented to them, which is all they can go off of,
right,
it was not enough to convict? Like, you know what I'm saying?
How do I know?
How do you know?
That what?
That how do you know that
based on the evidence,
because of the decision, now you're relating it back to racial issues?
I didn't mention the word race at all. I said specifically that the man has a license to carry a loaded gun. Okay. With that comes a legal responsibility. Okay. If I have a loaded gun, I can't just be fucking coming up to anybody going, "What the fuck are you doing here?" I'm a homeowner. Okay. I can tell you stories of coming out, putting my trash out, seeing fucking suspecting white guys, no fucking black guys, white guys on a fucking bicycle at 2 a.m, shining a little light on cars as they're driving their bicycle past the car to see if the car's open. All right. My car was broken in front of the thing. So, I mean, so not black guy, a white guy. So I don't even have a gun. So what am I supposed to do? Go up to the guy and say, "Yo, what the fuck are you doing here?" And go up to them with a fucking with a golf club that I have in the back of my car?
Let me tell you though, if your car got broken into 10 times, then maybe you would.
And
here's the thing.
Okay, stop right there.
That's the deal with that whole
stop right there.
Let me say this.
It's a good point, and then you're going to go on with your if my car got broken into 10 times, forget 10 times. The first time I wanted to follow this fuck and crack him in the head.
Yeah,
but here's the deal. I'm a homeowner, right? I'm not 20 years old living in my grandmother's fucking apartment. I got responsibilities. Again, I'm going to go back to that responsibility word, okay? If this show is about anything, it's about enlightening why motherfuckers don't take responsibilities for shit. Go back to some of the episodes and you'll see. I got responsibility. I cracked this motherfucker in the head. I'm liable.
Look,
for manslaughter. Hold on. If I don't kill him, right? Let's say I hurt him, right? He knows where I live. He can come back to my house anytime. So I got a responsibility to my family on top of that. You follow what I'm saying?
Not everybody thinks that way.
Because you're not fucking responsible. This fucking guy was not responsible. Let Rich talk, because Rich did a lot of fucking... All you're talking about, Simon, is fucking Justice 101. Let Rich fucking give us some real science here.
This is what a lot of the thing...
Give us some real motherfucking science!
No, this is a little bit of the thing, too. This guy was the head of the fucking, the head of the neighborhood watch. Right. They appointed him that.
Yeah.
The police department.
Right.
The police department.
402 times to that.
The neighborhood.
No, it's organized. It's organized.
Somebody has to say who's going to be in charge here. So he was registered.
The police department is aware of that and understands
all
that.
He was registered as the head.
This guy in his head feels like it's his kind of civic duty after there's been,
402 times in the prior year. Police were called to that complex.
Yeah,
402 times.
Right.
They had 9 break-ins and 8 burglaries and a gunshot already.
Right.
It was already a high amount of prowling. Amount of crime in that area. So, and he's the one.
He's the guy.
He's the guy who...
He's the guy, and he's kind of on high alert. Now, did he handle everything the way that he should have done? No, absolutely not. Should he have stayed in his car? Yes, but... The reason why, and if you're talking to a jury of homeowners or people, and then you bring up a lot of those facts about how many people and all that, they start thinking about that. Yeah, he's going to get out of his car and just follow the guy. He didn't pull the gun out and was walking.
Hold on.
He didn't walk down the sidewalk pointing the gun at him saying, "Hey,
you don't know that." No one knows that.
There were witnesses.
There's a two-minute period.
No one knows that. That's bullshit.
No, they have witnesses.
There were witnesses that said what?
He was beating him.
Yeah, that they saw...
Trayvon
on
hitting
top
him.
Of him.
Zimmerman?
Yeah. Sitting on top of him, MMA style, punching him in the face.
Right.
And he was crying for help.
Okay. That's the second reason why his fat ass or his... He wasn't fat.
He wasn't... He did. Yeah.
That's
no, he
the second reason he wasn't
to
fat.
Be part of the fucking
but that's the
watch.
Second reason his stupid ass should have stayed in the car. Because, again, okay, I'm going to go back. First of all, you said... He should have stayed in his car. There's no but. That's the whole point. Had he stayed in the car, okay?
Had he stayed in the car. But you tell that to a jury of
people. It doesn't matter. Had he stayed in the car.
But it's not being decided by a computer.
Trayvon would not be murdered.
It's being decided by
the crime,
six women who
are white.
The crime is not whether
the kid is black
in the car or not.
Five women who are white and one was an undisclosed
race. He's not being charged with staying in the car or not staying in the car.
That's not illegal.
You have to think, listen, how you have to think how the law works. He's being charged. They want to know, during this period, in between the time he called and the time the cops showed up, what transpired? And that's the only question they were on their minds that they had to worry about.
That's not illegal? Let me ask you a question. A cop pulls you over, right?
Mm-hmm.
You reach for your fucking registration.
Yeah.
You get out of the car to give it to him. He says, stay in the car.
Yeah.
Okay? You stay out of the car. No, but. He fucking pounces on you, handcuffs you, and takes you in. Right?
But not before you say, do you know who I am?
It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who you are. You know why? Because a police officer is the law. Okay?
Yeah, but see, that was a dispatcher. They were talking to a dispatcher, but police officer, whatever. But you're not, when a police officer pulls you over, technically you are under arrest. You are under arrest.
You're guilty. Yeah, okay.
You have to do what they say. Technically, you are under arrest and you have to stay in the car.
I don't want to go on a tangent like that, but go.
But that's what I'm saying. The issue wasn't now that issue of him being able to stay in the car might come out in a civil case.
Right.
And then he'll owe a lot of money, which maybe, unless he wins the lottery, they'll never fucking see that money.
You mentioned race, Simon, before. Initially, I didn't mention race. I just mentioned the basic facts, right, that I knew of or I had heard of. The most obvious one was that against advice, he got out of the car. He did something that, had he not done, death could have been prevented. That's my point of contention there. Okay, so,
but he didn't break a law by doing that.
It doesn't matter if there's a law. We're not talking about law. We're talking about
they care about, though.
Got you. But we're talking about cause and effect. Okay, and we're talking about responsibility. Okay, if you have a gun and it's loaded, you have a responsibility. You just at that point can't decide I'm gonna do whatever the fuck I want, because if you have a pistol, right, and it's loaded, and you go up to somebody and they go yo. Do me a favor, get the fuck out of here. And he goes, fuck you. Don't fucking talk to me. And you go, sir, get the fuck out of here. Now, this guy, he can't defend himself. So he's going to whip out his gun. I know he's going to do it. He's going to whip it out either to point it at him, or he's going to show it to the guy or something. Okay?
You know he did that?
I don't know. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, I don't know he did that. But I'm saying Trayvon must have felt threatened enough that he was pouncing on him on top, okay?
Well, what I'm saying, here's my...
It is possible, but then you've got... And again,
but you said there were witnesses.
Another reason why...
No one saw what happened?
Another reason why, and I agree, he shouldn't have gotten out of the car, but... I was told, a friend of mine told me today, earlier, I didn't hear it, but Howard Stern made a point about, you know, the way that he looked. I mean, he's got a shaved head. He was actually cut.
He looked like a gangster.
He wasn't Jabba the Hutt at that point.
Right.
So
he wasn't eating fucking prison ration fucking bread and fucking.
He should have juiced in prison,
lard.
Man. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
But he looked a little more aggressive or you know, and all that.
He looked chuggy.
And if it's raining, it's a dark night, and this guy's following you, and he was. Supposedly saying on the phone with the person that he was talking to on the
Trayvon,
was saying this guy keeps following me, his creepy cracker and all that stuff, you know, is following me and all that shit. He was kind of freaked out. So Howard Stern is saying, it's like, look, if there's a creepy guy following you and all that, you're going to be automatically defensive.
Right.
Especially and when you're 17.
Right.
You know, you're full of piss
and
vinegar.
Stop right there.
I understand.
Stop right there. So again, that's part two of him getting out of the car. He is the aggressor there. Okay?
Sure.
Zimmerman.
Sure.
Zimmerman's the aggressor. He's the aggressor when he gets out of the car. Mm-hmm. He's the aggressor when he decides to follow the kid. Okay? The kid is under defense now. Okay?
Well, I guess he's the aggressor in the sense that if he meant to cause him harm, but I believe all the defense has to say is that he got out of the car to follow him, because he even said when he was getting out of the car, these assholes always get away.
Right.
The aggressor is the one who first verbally or physically assaulted the other one. That to me is the aggressor. Not getting out of the car.
Not necessarily assaults. It could be imposing a threat.
Yes.
It could be verbally. Somebody bigger. No, it doesn't have to be bigger. It doesn't have to be verbal. It could be nonverbal, physical
that's
communication.
Physical. I said, that's what I said, verbal or physical.
Right, right, right.
You don't do it through telepathy.
No,
it's either verbal or physical.
You don't do it through telepathy?
But
no.
Like,
oh.
But if he was so just following him and didn't say anything to him, that's not necessarily being aggressive.
I don't think that he just didn't say anything to him. I think that at a certain point, I've been in situations
here's
like
what
this,
I think.
Okay?
I think
where people are following you and they're imposing either their strength, power, or whatever. In this case, this dude has a gun.
But see, he knew also that the cops were on the way. Zimmerman knew that the cops were
chilled.
On the way. And he essentially, from what I understand, from what I've read and all of that, his point was to just track the guy. So because he told the operator, hey, call me. Have the cops call me when they get here, and I'll let you know where he is. You know, and then so
in his mind, he's being little officer dick fuck Magnum PI friendly. He has a mustache. He's a cocksucker. He thinks he's awesome. Right. Here's my stance on it. Okay,
go ahead.
Here's my stance. Was Zimmerman a dipshit? Yes. Was he racist? Probably. Maybe. He probably was.
We're not. Hold on.
No, listen.
None of us are saying racist here.
All I'm saying is, I can't go as far as saying, because I haven't seen the evidence and I wasn't in the jury stand, right, whether or not all we're talking about is a 2 to 3 minute period that that they have to decide what transpired. And what I'm saying is during that 2 to 3 minute period, I don't know because I wasn't there. That's all I'm saying. That's my take on the matter.
Right. I got you. So at this point, you can be excused for the room.
All right. I'm going to go hang with Nicodemus
for a
minute.
Because the men here, we're going to have a real fucking discussion. Okay?
No, I'm being on it.
No,
telling
I'm serious.
The thing about the... he knew, you know, I don't know. They brought up a bunch of that stuff, too, because he called in like 7 times in the past, however, since he was the head neighbor.
Zimmerman?
Zimmerman. Since he was the head neighborhood dick. But
called in?
He called in a bunch of times to report suspicious activity or these people are walking their dog or whatever the fuck you
listen,
know, he was freaking out about. But he never, when he was on the phone, he never really...
Don't get
race
me wrong.
Race was never an issue.
Don't get me wrong. I'm a homeowner. Both of you guys know this.
You're a homo?
Homeowner.
Oh, okay.
I'm a homo sapien.
He's a homeowner.
I'm a homeowner.
He moans at home, folks.
I'm a homeowner. You guys know I live in a decent neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
There are not one black fucking person within... I never seen a black. Well, no, I seen one down the block. There's an apartment complex. No, I'm being serious. Because if you see a black person, automatically, I don't give a fuck who you are. The subconscious, the psyche is, what's he doing here? I don't give a fuck who you are. I grew up with blacks. I'm Puerto Rican. I grew up in New York City in the projects. It doesn't matter who the fuck you are, okay?
And why you think that is?
I don't know why that is. I'm just saying, because I guess subconsciously you've been taught that black fucking men are dangerous or some shit. I don't fucking know. But put that aside. As a homeowner, I see fucking anybody suspicious. Like you said earlier, somebody breaks into my car 10 times. I'm going to be like, what the fuck are you doing here? Do you live here?
Right.
Do you live here? Get the fuck out of my street. That's my instinct.
I think that's what Zimmerman said. Like, what are you doing
here?
That's what I want to do.
But again, I would never do that.
Well, but that's you.
You get a gun. You don't have a gun.
I would not do that.
What if you were on neighborhood watch?
Dude, I'm in the middle of starting a neighborhood watch in my neighborhood.
What, are you just going to watch the crime?
No.
Are you just going to watch?
No.
They're taking the stereo.
No, you get everybody in the neighborhood.
Walking away.
You get everybody in the neighborhood.
You get that dog barking motherfucker to be in the neighborhood watch. That scared the shit out of everybody.
I'm up till 2 or 3 in the morning. So we get a bunch of people. My neighbor's house was broken into through the back. They cracked his window. There's so many people that come in and out. You got gardeners. You know what I mean? So you need people to always look. My neighbor on the left, an older woman, her husband, who passed away a couple years ago, he was the head of the neighborhood watch. I'm in the process of getting a neighborhood watch. But I'm not going to...
You just outed her.
No, I'm not going to take those matters into my own hand because I'm not qualified psychologically to take that upon myself. I swear to God, I will get a bat and I will crack it over some motherfucker's head.
You'll Zimmerman somebody?
I will fucking cold Zimmerman somebody. I swear to God. And then I will stop. I won't stop. I won't stop until I got red, bloody mashed potatoes. You see what I'm saying? And then when I come to realize what I've done, you know.
Just save me some of the juice.
Ah, I did it! Okay.
So you're siding with Zimmerman.
I'm not siding with Zimmerman. No, what I'm saying is
You think he should use the bat?
No, what I'm saying is
he should use some self-control.
I understand.
Yeah.
Well, I understand all of that. But I have to go back to... If he stayed in the car and not took matters into his own hands, the guy would have still been alive.
He should have used Match.com, gotten laid once in a while, and he wouldn't have to walk around like he's fucking Studley, you know, like Dudley the fucking mountain ranger from that one cartoon.
He was just starting to grow a mustache.
Oh, like he's growing a mustache. Yeah.
Like a nice big, you know.
Fucking rent-a-cop.
Now, I understand what, like, all of that point and all of that stuff, but what the whole thing is it just comes down to the law, what the evidence they had at hand, and all that. Everybody's bringing race into it.
That's my point.
But also, 10 months before that, there was a huge issue with race in the police department where
we're talking about Florida now.
Yeah, but
which is a Republican state and a fucking racist state.
There's a huge thing and
let me tell you something.
The police chief had to actually
in 5 years
because they were getting more heat because now, oh, it's another thing, you know, the Latinos against the blacks because there was an issue with that police department.
The police department.
10 months before.
Where was this, in Dade County? Like Miami, around that area? I know in 5 years you're going to be able to bid on slaves on eBay. Only in Florida. It's coming back. And then eventually it's going to spread to some of the other southern states. You know, last week we were talking about the repeal of certain faction of the Voting Act. So it's little by little. You know, you're going to be able to get, you know, black men and women to just do shit for you for nothing. It's going to happen, which
they
is
should
cool.
Just take all the people who don't want to live with other races of people and then just put them somewhere, you know?
Well,
they don't want anybody around them.
Well, they did put them somewhere. Florida. That's where they are. That's the whole point.
No, I mean, I know it's a ridiculous idea and all of that, but I can't help but just think, if these people don't want to live around in an area where there are people that they don't like, then just fucking move, you know? And then and everybody knows that this is like racist island, you know? And that's that. That's just it. In fact, take them to Rikers Island.
It's fucked up.
And change it to racist.
Anyway, it's fucked up. There is a petition for those of you out there that want to sign an online petition. Go to moveon.org. They're trying to get electronic petition signed to get the Justice Department to bring a civil lawsuit against Zimmerman. So if you're interested in that, moveon.org. Check it out. Search Zimmerman Justice Criminal Civil fucking
dot,
criminal.
You're
starting to sound like me, man.
Yeah, I know.
Dot
Asian slut.org.
Yeah. fatasiansluts.org. Yeah. So no, but
all the local web or all the government websites have no money, so they have to jump on the backs of porn websites. It's cheaper.
Yeah, the government's on the backs of a lot of people.
Well, the other thing that happened as a result of this stuff was all across America, because he was also
he was wearing
a hoodie. Mm-hmm. So all across America, the day after or 2 days after the verdict,
everybody was wearing hoodies.
Everyone was wearing hoodies in solidarity.
You know, the Unabomber wore a hoodie.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The Unabomber. Anyway, moveon.org. Search fucking Trayvon civil fucking lawsuit against Zimmerman and
search fucking Trayvon fucking civil lawsuit.
Just do it. Just do it.
Cocksock Zimmerman.
Make your own decision. Make your own thing, and then argue about it with all your friends.
Make your own money, man.
Yeah.
Then get into a knife fight or pull out your gun when you don't agree.
Big up to all your motherfucker to pay your rent. Big up to all your motherfucker to get a job and take care of your kids and don't be walking around other people's neighborhoods where you don't belong.
To all your motherfuckers working at Bar- Burger King making your money.
Big up to all your motherfuckers that pay your taxes and wear a hoodie. Proud. Stand motherfucking proud. Yeah, anyway, so now, you know, rest in peace, Trayvon Martin. Rest in peace. No matter what the circumstances were or the details, I don't think you deserve to die.
He was only 17.
Absolutely.
You didn't deserve to die.
He did not.
You know, you had your whole life ahead of you. There was hope, and I'm sorry that...
You could have ended like us.
I mean, you could have been a guest on Nestorius Public Radio. But anyway, rest in peace, and our you know, heartfelt condolences to the Martin family. That's what I want to say. Yeah, anyway.
And go easy out there, people. Come on.
Go easy.
Chill out.
Go
Fuck
easy.
Your stuff. Last... Go, it's my stuff. Fuck your stuff.
Yeah. Every time I do
all
this shit.
All the people out there running up on everybody else.
Anyway, last week we were talking about Bloomberg, a mayor douchebag in New York City, and I said I was going to discuss this particular thing, and of course we went off on 50 million fucking, you know, ring-a-ling-ding-ding, you know, stop the jing-jing.
Ring-ding-dong.
Ring-a-ding-ding-ding-dong. Ring-ding-dong. Wait, ring-ding-ding-ding-dong. Wait, ring-ding-dong. Wait, ring, ding, 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 dong. Anyway, yeah, so we went all over the fucking place, the hula hoop, the you-know-who, the beak don't tap and the jupe-a-jupe, and I didn't get into this fucking thing, which is fucking Mayor Bloomberg. Check this out. Mayor Bloomberg, who has tried to curb soda consumption, which I think, you know, well...
Mayor Bloomberg of New York City.
New York City. Mayor fucking douchebag that has not taken a salary because he's got so much fucking money coming out of his fucking hair follicles that he doesn't need taxpayer dollars. But
he gets it other ways.
Yeah, he takes it up the foop. Anyway, he has tried, and that's in italics, to curb soda consumption because he passed a law that merchants can't sell fucking supersized sodas because there's too many fat fucks all over America, and it's my fucking responsibility that you don't know how to take care of yourself, so everybody got to pay. Again, what's that word?
Responsibility.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Brother, let me tell you something here, brother. Mr. Mean Gene Dude, brother. Anyway, that was a little ode to Hulk Hogan there, my man. He's tried to curb soda consumption, ban smoking in parks. He hasn't tried. He's done that. He's passed a law where you can't smoke.
So
you can't smoke in parks.
Meanwhile, what a free country.
Meanwhile, there's fucking rats galore in the parks. So you can be assaulted by a rat, but you can't fucking smoke a cigarette.
While being assaulted.
Right. So smoking in parks and encourage bike riding. Encourage is a loose term. He's basically forced you to bike ride. As we were talking about last week, he's taken away a parking space to create a bike lane and basically reduced another driving lane to create more fucking congestion and traffic. So all these fucking hipster fucking douchebags can ride their bikes and go to the farmer's market and get fucking holistic vegetables and shit. You know what I'm saying? So they can fucking juice and they can be fucking pure.
Yeah. Well, they made a bike lane there. They made every lane a bike lane out here. Have you seen those stickers on the back of the bus? Every lane is a bike lane.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, basically what they're saying is that a bike rider has the right of way no matter what.
Anywhere, yeah.
Or a motorcyclist.
And I think, was
really
that because...
Any lane's a bike lane, and in between any lane is a bike lane, and any sidewalk is a bike lane.
They could just do whatever the fuck they want. I think that, didn't Villaraigosa.
Another fucking genius.
I think that motherfucker, he got almost sideswiped by a car and had to like scoot over really far, and he had to ditch his bike.
Another fucking genius.
This is a couple of years ago. I think that was him, and soon as that happened, then he went on this huge fucking campaign because it happened to him.
Right.
So we need to make more things happen to people.
Reactionary
like, go
society.
And take everyone's money and make them live in the projects. And then they'll be like, oh, wow.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, we didn't have
or to. Make them fucking like fail and take their tuition money out so they're forced to fucking get a better education.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the new cause that he's doing is he's requiring New Yorkers to separate their food scraps for composting. Okay, guys, out there in iTunesville and Middle America, whatever, there are certain states and certain cities that regulate some of us to food compost. But let me give you a little news flash. They're not living on top of one another in apartment complexes that are rat infested and fucking water bugs. And so not everybody has the luxury of having a fucking metal box on your counter so you can put your chicken bone scraps, your bread, and all your vegetable scraps in there so that once a week, the fucking food composting truck could come and pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not everybody has that. But some people in New York, like the rich motherfuckers that Bloomberg is representing, apparently they live in a situation where they can have a very nice blinged out fucking food composting box.
No, they give you the box. They'll
right.
give you the box.
Bro, they'll give you the box. Well, they'll also give you rat. It?
You want to customize your box?
They'll also give you rat infested.
You'll start putting diamonds on it and yeah. Nestor's Puerto Rican.
Yeah, the Puerto Rican flag.
Hookup.
Yeah.
Yo, Boricua. New York pork compost box, man, down at to Nestor.
That shit's
up in the South Bronx.
Boricua composting, papi.
That shit's heavy, though, man. Those boxes, they're small, but you start filling that shit up with compost and all
Thank
that.
You.
That's. Dude, that shit's heavy
Thank
already.
You. Thank
okay.
you.
It's, and, let me ask you a question.
And here's the thing. You turn the lights out, you go to bed, you know, you wake up and it's a goddamn, it's not a roach motel. It's a roach gated community.
Thank you.
It's a fucking,
roach. Let me tell you something about
rat,
the
roach.
The
mice.
The fuck. The mice in New York.
Oh my God.
The mice and rats in New York.
You wake up in the morning, Bloomberg's sitting in there like,
hello.
Smoking a cigar with a roach talking about stock prices.
We need to get more bike lanes.
This was a good idea. You guys going to vote for me? I got all the cockroach votes.
Listen, the rats in New York City, they don't fuck around. They'll open up that food compost.
Well, let me ask you a question. Well, here's what it comes down to. I mean, here's a question. Are you for sustainable new solutions to old problems, or are you not?
Me or in general? I am. I'm for.
Okay, well,
that's
what it is.
Right.
It's a chance to cut down on,
but this is not,
on consumption, cut down on waste. It's a recycling program.
This ain't practical in New York is all I'm saying. Unless you live in a house or in a fucking one-story, two-story maximum building, it's not practical, in my opinion.
Do you ever go downstairs? You don't, no.
The food compost
box. It's
like
the garbage. Listen, it's like the garbage. You don't have to bring your garbage out of your house once a week. You can have a thing downstairs.
Yeah, but food compost box would be picked up once a week.
Picked up. They're picking it up once a week. But it doesn't mean you can't go downstairs and dump it if you're in a big complex. If you're in a 500-apartment complex, you think 500 little tins are going to be put on the street in the morning?
Let me ask you a question.
No, you take it down, you dump it. Just like you take your garbage, you take it out.
You told me that you didn't have a recycling bin.
I don't know that we do. I don't think we do.
You've never looked for it because it's the law in California that every building has a recycling bin.
If we do, people treat it like it's not a recycling bin.
Right.
I live up in North Hollywood.
Yeah.
I live up in the Mexico section of North Hollywood.
That's my point.
Okay. People move out of apartments. They leave their furniture on the front lawn.
That's my point. Who do you
pissy
think?
Mattresses. So
who
my
do you
point
think
is,
lives in some of these neighborhoods in New York City in the outskirts of the five boroughs? Who do you think we're talking about? These rich fucks that live in these high rises? Who do you think we're talking about? We're talking about these motherfuckers that are going to leave their shit, throw it all over the place. Everybody else is going to have to reap
so
the
that's
benefits.
That's the lowest common denominator, but we're not going to stop progress of our society. If we can cut down on 10% garbage, if we can make reusable stuff out of it, if it can go to compost, if it can go to like sustainable farming, where do you think the compost is going? It's going to farming and stuff like that and soil. If we can do that, are we going to say, oh, because some shitbag up in fucking Queens doesn't want to do it and he doesn't wash his armpits?
No, it's not. He doesn't want to do it. He has to do it. It's the law.
So
it's
what's wrong with it?
So it's not the law right now, but eventually it's going to be. There's a lot of things wrong with it, in my opinion. The program will work on a voluntary basis, but officials predict that within a few years it will be mandatory. A few years, that's like next week, guarantee you. New Yorkers who do not separate their scraps could be subject to fines. More revenue for the city. Yay! As they are now if they do not recycle, okay? Under the program, residents collect food waste like stale bread, blacks and Latinos, chicken bones, blacks and Latinos, and potato peels, blacks and Latinos, okay?
And caviar.
Yeah, whites. In containers the size of picnic baskets in their homes. The contents are then deposited into large brown bins, blacks and Latinos, on the curb for pickup by sanitation trucks. Why the bin gotta be brown? You see what I'm saying?
It's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Think about this shit. Anyway.
Why's the garbage can got to be tin?
Because that's what they could afford, so that they didn't have plastic back then. Now they're plastic. But anyway, so that's my thing with Bloomberg. We may come up with some more shit with Bloomberg in the coming months on the Nestorius Public Radio. So you know what? We're gonna wrap up the show. We've had plenty of discussion. We've had a lot of interesting points of views on a couple of topics.
We've viewed points. We've had points of view. We've discussed discussions.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, you know what? I do want to talk about just one thing real quick. Did you guys hear about that naked swimmer that distracted the homeowner during the robbery? That shit, I mean, I got to end on something fun, okay?
That's the shit, man. Are you serious? That's like awesome.
If a strange woman asks to swim in your pool naked, be suspicious.
Be very suspicious.
Be suspicious. In Crossville, Tennessee, a man and woman asked if the woman could take a skinny dip. And then the man said he was leaving to get cigarettes, according to the Crossville Police Department. But while the woman swam naked and the distracted homeowner watched, that's hilarious. Someone robbed the home of nearly $1,000 in jewelry, cash, a handgun, and prescription drugs, police said. There goes handgun. Handgun is a word that, you know, responsibility and handgun, those two words are going to come up all the time on Nestorius Public Radio. I just want to say that. So we've seen numerous distraction methods, asking for help, looking for a dog, asking for help with gas for a stranded car, and then people come back and find their home was burglarized, Crossville Police Department Detective J.C. Hancock said. They just took it to a new level using a naked woman. It's hilarious.
What did this guy say to her right at the end before she left? He got her a towel, right? And what did he say? What did he want to do?
Hold on a second. So the incident happened on June 27th. The victim, Stefan Amaral, 54, said he gave the 30-something woman a towel when she was done swimming. So here's the deal.
No, keep going. There's one line in there.
The line is the muddy shot.
Yeah.
The muddy shot. I escorted her outside and invited her to church. But she said she didn't have time for that. Oh, my God. She said,
ain't nobody got time for that.
That's what she said.
She said, ain't nobody got time for that.
I'm on my way to the next home. I got to take another dip in the pool.
It says a lot about this guy. He's so distracted by this naked chick in his pool. And then he's getting ready to go to church.
What'd you do before church?
I let this woman swim naked in my pool.
That is so typical.
Jesus sent her to me.
Yeah.
Well, that's so typical in Texas. But here's the deal. You're 54. He's probably overweight. Okay. He has a pool.
He needs to juice.
I guarantee you he's never used this pool. You saw the picture of the pool, right?
Yeah.
He's never used the pool.
Maybe it wouldn't be open.
Nah, he didn't use the pool. Trust me, I could tell. The pool's just for fucking property value. All right? So, for $1,000 in jewelry, cash, and a handgun, that's not a lot of money to pay for a fucking, you know, nude, to have a nude chick.
People have paid a lot more.
For that.
Yeah,
to have a nude fucking bitch come into your house and take a skinny dip.
Swim for a half an hour?
For a half an hour. It wasn't even a half hour. Probably 15 minutes. I would have said, ho, 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 ho.
How?
I would have been like, there's no rush. I was going to go to church. But you know what? The Lord has brought you to it.
This is going
to
be a 2 o'clock mass I can go to.
Yeah, I would have been like, ho, 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 ho. I got some burgers, some hot dogs in the fridge. You guys relax. Don't worry about it. Let me put some meat in the grill, and you can swim back and forth, and I could just sit, you know, just chill.
How did this guy not be suspicious of this shit? She showed up with, it was a guy and a girl, showed up and asked him. Hey, do you think you'd let my friend here swim in the pool naked? I gotta go and get like a six pack of beer or whatever the fuck he said.
I'm going to leave.
Get cigarettes. Okay, he said cigarettes.
I'm going to go get cigarettes. I mean, at some point.
Get cigarettes? What the fuck you think this is? A baseball outing?
When at some point did this not, does this guy not think that something's wrong in Denmark?
When the titties were dangling, because that's why he got distracted. That's my point. See, first
they got to teach shit like
that's
that
when
in
he started
church.
Thinking about
in church.
They got to have more church shit like that.
My congregation, there will come a time when a naked white bitch is going to come into your pool. The devil comes in many different ways and forms and shapes. I am asking you in the name of Jesus to forego the obvious, Leviticus, luscious, incestuous feelings that you may have.
Don't be taking Leviticus sexualness up in the motherfucking hood.
That you may have. And escort everybody out of the house in the name of Jesus.
When the white bitch gets in your pool is when you need to know.
Okay, first of all, check this out. You guys know I own a pool, right?
Oh, yeah.
In my house.
Yeah,
nice pool.
It's a great
nice
pool.
If two motherfuckers.
I've gone out of town a couple of times.
That's right.
It gets fucking hot out there.
Right.
That's right.
That shit. When you're taking care
of that shit is not a commodity. That shit's a liability.
When you take care of my shit, you go in the pool whenever you want. Two people, three people, four people come into my motherfucking house in the backyard talking about they want to go in the pool. I don't know them. I'm going to be like, check this out. You got 5 minutes to decide. Turn the fuck around, get out of the gate, and leave. Right now. Just leave. Otherwise, if you do come in the pool, I'm going to drown your fucking ass. Okay? I'm going to drown you.
Yeah. Accident.
Okay? Because if I wanted to see some naked titties, I'd go to Stringfellows. Okay? That's our first ad. Stringfellows.
Stringfellows.
Have you ever strangled a naked woman in your pool?
I came close, but never. It's kind of hard to hold on to somebody when they're wet and they have.
Was she into it?
I don't know. She didn't look like she was into it, but it's hard to hold on to someone when they have Bandit Soleil on their neck and you're trying to grab them. It's kind of difficult.
This cool, rapey, choky thing.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so you know, I thought we'd leave you with some funny, something funny. I mean, we got into it. Big up your bomba-clad, naked bitch allowing, pool owning motherfucker. Say big up to all my people in Puerto Rico. I always say big up to all the nations, and I always forget to say big up to Puerto Rico. Big up Puerto Rico, mi familia, mucho amor, mucho cariño. Big up. Big up to all you fucks in Florida, the ones that have to take the shit from all these fucks that are racist. There's tax breaks in California. Come on, baby. Move on over. That's the end of our show. I just want to tell you one last time. The show is live every Thursday night from 9 to 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on SkidRowStudios.com and midnight to 1 a.m. There are other shows on SkidRowStudios.com, so check out the website. Come in. You know, there's a lot of crazy shit going on here. There's S&M shows, psychic shows, psychology shows, marijuana smoking shows. There's all types of shit. Check it out. You know, I'm all about loving and supporting, so support all the other shows. They're all good. Go to iTunes, search podcasts. If you're randomly coming onto the show and falling upon the amazing shit that you're hearing today, go to iTunes, search Nestorius Public Radio, and subscribe to the podcast. Make sure that you have your automatic download when a new episode comes on your iPod, iTunes preferences, and download the episodes, man. Check them all out. You know what I mean? Tell your friends about it. It's a fun show. It's constantly evolving. We got new guests here and there coming. I have an interview with Common, the rapper Common, coming up in a couple of weeks. I've interviewed Dennis Quaid, Michael Chiklis, you know, Leslie Small, the director of Let Me Explain, Kevin Hart's new movie. There's a lot of shit going on here, man, on Nestorius Public Radio. You know what I'm saying? So peep out NestoriusPublicRadio.com. Check us out on Facebook / Nestorius Public Radio, and follow us on Twitter, Nestorius NYC.
Y'all gotta encourage me to hold my lawn. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta encourage.